Turn with me to the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes, chapter 3. I was so stirred by just looking at Ecclesiastes the last couple of weeks that I decided to read through it and at times share a little bit with my family. Chapter 3. We'll read verses 1 through 8. And verse 14. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to break down, and a time to build up. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get, and a time to lose. A time to keep, and a time to cast away. A time to rend, and a time to sow. A time to keep silence, and a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate. A time of war, and a time of peace. Turn to verse 14. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it that men should fear before him. Amen. Let me pray. Father, we come to the new Sunday, the new year, looking unto thee, the God who rules the times and seasons. Thank you, Lord, that today is a day of life. It's a day to worship God. It's a day to grow in grace. It's a day to press on in the very breath that you give us. Bless your people. Cause our time together and reflecting together be full of thanksgiving and awe at our great God and Savior. Glory to your holy name. Amen. At some point back in the early years of our church, I started this annual tradition of reflecting back on the previous calendar year. Now, I'm getting myself too far into it now. Back in those days, we had about 30 people in the church, so it was fairly easy to reflect back and to think of each of you. Oh, we don't have 30 people anymore. We have 47 family units, whether it be a single or a family with a large number of children, each family unit. So as I've counted them, and I've been even today looking around the room to make sure I have everybody more or less on my list, and I think I do by God's grace. But it's amazing to reflect over you and to think of God's incredible love and grace in your lives. I don't know how long I can keep doing this, but I think I'll try as long as God gives me strength. Now, each year when I do this, it becomes a kind of an emotional journey for me. When I reflect back over the past year and I consider some of the things in your lives, it's an emotional experience. Sometimes I have smiles and sometimes with tears, but it's always with thankfulness to God for the grace in your life, when I pause and consider. And I know that the other three elders absolutely feel that way too, the love and the thankfulness to God for what he's doing and has done in your life. Now, when I left Portland, Maine on December 17th and headed back from Portland to the Boston airport, I said, now I can shift gears and I can start writing things down. And I did not have a tablet. And I thought, uh-oh. Well, to the Enterprise Car Rental Agency, I want them to know perhaps the most heartfelt notes on any of their papers in the last year were me writing notes. I got my receipt from my rental car. I got on the plane. I had the list, at least I thought the latest list of the church, and I got all these names, and I'm scribbling madly everybody's names on the back of this rental car agreement. People next to me, what's going on with this guy? Powered my phone down, and now I had a four-hour flight to think about each of you. And I would write for a while, and then I would nod off, and then I'd think, oh yeah, I got to write that down. I'd go back and scribble through something. So today I want to reflect with you on 2017. I want to look ahead too, but I want to think with you and share with you. What are you going to remember most about 2017? You know, beloved, reflecting back is good for us. Men of the Scriptures, and men through the ages, and women through the ages who know the living Savior, reflected well. It affected them today and tomorrow. God intends for you and I to do this, because it brings thanksgiving. As Piper would say, and then God did this, and then God did this, and God did this. It brings thanksgiving. It brings fresh hope. He is with me to the end. Yes, He is. It brings hope. It brings faith that the Lord Jesus Christ is with you, around you, upon you, loving you, and that He's gonna shepherd you all the way to glory. That's what reflecting will help you do. See these things. Brother Matthew Henry wrote just a few thoughts on this total chapter, or this first half of the chapter 3 of Ecclesiastes. And he said this about God ruling in the times and seasons. Listen briefly. These verses show us that we live in a world of changes, that the several events of time and the conditions of human life are vastly different from one another. You hear what he's saying? All these things are happening. That the times and the seasons are determined by God. That's what he's saying. This is telling us that we should live, if we know these things, that we should live in humble dependence upon God and His providence. He's impassible, as Brother Lee has marvelously expressed in our last two teaching times. But He is ruling and reigning over everything. And that should give us tremendous hope and faith and patience, peace. So, beloved, let's take time to reflect today. Just bear with me for a little bit, and I'll move quickly, but hang in there, and we'll do this together. Now, before I speak on the things in your lives, I'd always like to take a quick glance, very, very brief snapshots of things happening around us in the world, things that are very, very sad, heartbreaking, and some things that are encouraging. But what are some of the events from 2017? It's a little overwhelming. If you try to do this, you better be very careful, because you'll get overwhelmed in a hurry. You have to be careful how to even assimilate it, put it there in front of you. Well, I have several categories when I look back at 2017. There were new days and new events. New days. We saw the inauguration of a new president, Mr. Donald Trump. Shocking to much of the world, but he was inaugurated in the perfect will of God. He is the President of the United States, and with him being the new president, there was a new, and you might say, radical agenda. Some big things on his agenda and others, but it was new, and it's been a pretty dynamic year this last year, watching things happen. Not to mention his obsession with Twitter. If there's any company in the history of the world that's been given free advertising, it's the Twitter business, because of our president and his complete obsession with Twitter. My goodness, what would the other presidents say to him through the ages? You interpret that however you will, but it's new, it's a new day, and there's been new movements and new pressures and new struggles and new accusations and new, right, on and on and on. But recently there was a new tax plan that finally made it through. It's new. It's different. I just read a snapshot of how it's even affecting the airline companies and how they're going to be able to distribute certain bonuses and all to their people because of the change in the tax plan. And the tax plan brought about great debate and controversy. I was not watching it closely. Someone in here may have be able to articulate things about it. But it's new. It's changing. Always things are moving. Another big event, it to some extent, Texas has had pro baseball in the state for about 100 years, somewhere plus or minus, and they finally got a World Series champion. That's something new that happened. It wasn't in Arlington. It was in Houston. The Astros, the new World Series champion, is from the state of Texas. And for the movie cult folks, nobody get their feelings hurt. A new Star Wars movie. Oh, boring. Please, don't come talk to me about Star Wars. I saw the first one in a theater about, what, Chris, about a half mile from here in 1977, and went out to the car and said, what was that about? Let's go shoot baskets. Now, that's fun. Star Wars, the new one. How can it be new when there's all these others? Funny. Another category, new movements and new gadgets. There's a time to every purpose under the heaven, and there's new gadgets and there's new movements or new things happening around us in terms of cultural things, whether they be faddish or they be controversial movements. We continue to see the growing movement in sports on whether to stand or kneel during the national anthem. I can promise you, our grandfathers, my Christians and my grand, would go, what did you just say? Isn't that what everybody does? But it's big. It is big because it's posing big questions, or it's asking big questions and concerns. And social media has gone crazy with it. That's a movement. We have to know as Christians how to be a part or impact this generation with questions and things that are happening around us. I'm not trying to answer these today. That's not my intent. I'm just reminding us of the day that we're in. New movements. How about this? The ongoing advancement of drones within society. Ian's got a brother that's a drone man, for sure. Drones are fascinating. But the idea to deliver your packages by drones, I might be walking around looking like this all the time. I might get hit by something. Delivering packages by drones, you think that's wild? How about self-driving cars, right? They're being tested right now, self-driving cars. Oh, beloved, if you get a self-driving car, let me drive you somewhere. I'm not sure I want to ride with you. I'm not sure I'm in on that. Flying cars. I thought that was the Jetsons cartoon when we were kids. Flying cars, they're coming? They say they're coming. We will see. But my favorite, funny one, is this. Yes, Mark LaCour, I can bring my own. Anybody know what this is? The new gadget exploded in 2017. What is it? What is this, Elijah? A fidget spinner. This is the American culture. It's so fitting. We have a culture that's spinning. This is social media. This is them. This is the picture, the metaphor for social media. Going crazy nonstop. It is. They are fun. I had to go find Jesse. I had to sneak up there and find yours today. Because I knew if you knew what I was doing, he's going to use it at church. New movements and gadgets. There were hard days and social woes in our last year. The all-too-often news of senseless killings. It's just all the time. All the time. All around the world. Not just in the West. It's been going on all over the world since the beginning of time. But the senseless killings, like in Manchester, England. 22 people were killed, as you remember, that whole event. And then the Vegas, remember the Las Vegas Music Festival, and 58 people killed. Many, many others injured. Senseless killings, violence, people with anger, people with hatred. And then there's the social tension about civic monuments and removing them. You saw lead stories about monuments being knocked down or taken down and being stored away. These are social issues of our day. They're begging questions and they're begging people to express things and to look at them with a proper view or with a grounded view. It is a social issue of our day. It's not going away. And the weekly disclosures about workforce harassment towards women. I'll be very careful on this one. But it's become a weekly thing. It's become common in corporate America down to local governments, the harassment problems. It's a social woe. It's a social picture of our day of sin and men needing to be born again, to be brought into Jesus Christ and His glorious salvation. The social woes around us, some of the social woes around us were because of hard things, hard events natural disasters. We call them natural disasters, I think, to be cautious. But it's God that rules, right? He brings the wind. He sends the lightning. He brings the storms, the hurricanes, the mudslides. All the events are under His times and seasons. It's of God, and it's overwhelming, as He said here in verse 14, that men should fear before Him. Hurricane Harvey hitting Houston in August. Awesome force. Devastating force. Hurricane Irma hitting the Florida area. You remember these events in September. So we had August, followed shortly thereafter by Irma coming along and devastation along Florida and those southern states. The massive earthquake in Mexico back in September. Staggering when you see what's happening there. It is hard. It's hard days. It's hard to figure it out. Hard to understand what God is doing. We're not to figure it out. We're to fear before Him. All that He does is perfect. All His ways are past finding out. And then Hurricane Maria hit the Puerto Rico area in October. Again, devastation. Devastation. The frailty of our humanity, right? The reality of how frail our systems are. I mean, men continue century after century to try to advance their systems, their cities, their infrastructure. You'll never design a bridge big enough to deal with what God sends. We ought to just state it like it is. God is not limited. And we've seen the stunning scenes about the California fires. Haven't those been scary, looking at those? Every now and then somebody in my office would say, you've got to see this picture. People trying to get out. The fires are uncontrollable. So hard social woes, difficulties, heavy things, people hurting. You've had family, friends, people you know of. You may have lost somebody that was a friend through the hurricanes or something that's happened. We ought to be aware and sensitive to what people around us go through. Their deaths. Deaths. There's a time to be born and a time to die. Glenn Campbell died 2017. How many of you know who Glenn Campbell was? I remember as a teenager, liking some of his music. And I wasn't a country and western guy. I just liked the way he would sing. Fats Domino, playing the piano and singing, kind of a rock, early rock and roll guy. Fats Domino died, age 89. Mary Tyler Moore, the actress, died. I had flashbacks of the Dick Van Dyke Show, thinking that Dick Enberg, the broadcaster, he passed away in 2017, age 82. I can remember him through the years. And Eugene Cernan passed away. I need a hand to go up that somebody can tell me who Eugene Cernan was. It's the last man to walk on the moon. That's amazing. Anybody want to guess the year? 1972. I want to see the show of hands of those who were born after 1972. Most of this room. A lot of it. He walked on the moon before the PC and the microwave and the iPad and the iPhone and the gadget after gadget after gadget. Walking on the moon. They knew how to do their mathematics, guys. You don't go walking on the moon unless you trust somebody to know how to run their math. There's a lot of math, a lot of physics, a lot of things have to be calculated before you jump in some metal thing and get fired up to the moon and go walking around collecting stuff. Eugene Cernan passed away, and that's his claim. In a sense, some fascinating quotes by him. He died in 2017, years and years later after that experience. And Brother R.C. Sproul passed away. What, 2 weeks ago, roughly. Brother Sproul, age 78, God's man, God's messenger, such a faithful servant who taught and defended the Word of God for decades. Right? I remember early years of our church, those young guys from the college gave us all those tape series or the CD series on Sproul teaching, and I would listen to them in my car. They were awesome. They were great. You just admired Brother Sproul's love of God in his proclamation. of the glory of the one true God and the one great Savior. He's there now. One other category, some inspiring stories around us beyond my fidget spinner. Some inspiring stories, courageous people who helped the hurricanes victims. You mean the people who had gone through these massive floods, massive damage, loss of property, almost loss of life for many. And you would read, and you'll still, probably this will go on for years, you'll read stories, people who put themselves at risk, could have lost their own life trying to help others. Some very, very inspiring stories that you read about. Wonderful. I know another inspiring story. Where's Alistair? Is he back there? Is he anywhere close? There he is. Did we have a total solar eclipse this year, this past year? We did. You guys got to go see it. I remember during the wow of a total solar eclipse, getting some video pieces from Jeff and Tommy and the family of them going out to Missouri or wherever that was. It's quite a moment. It's a sermon to us. It's God declaring His greatness, right? The heavens declare the glory of God. The solar eclipse was all about God. That's how we ought to view these things. It's about God, about His great ruling over all things. The end, 2017, the end of a 146-year American iconic event. The end of it came in 2017. What was it? The circus. The Ringling Brothers Circus. Started shortly after Lincoln's death and had run continuously for 146 years. I imagine almost everyone in this room has been to the circus at some point. That came to an end. And Brother Billy Graham turned 99 years old. That's inspiring. When I was a boy, the first event at Texas Stadium, which is no longer there, was Billy Graham preaching. And my mom took me and a few friends. It's the only time I've heard Brother Billy Graham live. These are inspiring things. They ought to cause us to reflect and see, have a God-centered view of these things. That everything is His time. Everything is in His season or time and season. Everything according to His purpose. And so that brings us to the events in your lives, in my life. Solomon's word said, to everything there is a season and to every purpose, a time to every purpose under the heaven. And that means you boys and girls, and you young people, and all of us as men and women, God has our times and seasons. He knew when I would be born before eternity started, if you want to say that, in eternity past. He knew my life before it started. He knew your life. He knows any of your lives of grandchildren or great-grandchildren. If they are to be born, He knows they're in His book, in His chronicles of what He is going to do for His glory. It's overwhelming and it's wonderful to pillow your head at night knowing that God reigns. The times and seasons are His. Category one, there's a time to be born. I had another grandson born this past year. If you'd like to come spend an hour with me afterwards, I'd be happy to talk to you about it. 2 hours, right? Getting little videos of that little guy talking to his dad or mom at 4 months old. But a time to be born. There's new children and there's new responsibilities for us. Children are God's gift. God gives children for us to train and nurture in His ways. We give them a high view of God and a fear of Jesus Christ, a love for Him, an acknowledgement of Him. Amen. Trusting the Holy Spirit to do it, make it alive unto them. We don't just teach them here. We teach them as we rise up and as we walk and as we go down through the day-to-day things of life. God is blessing. 1/4 of our church, more or less, either have had children in 2017 or will soon have children. God's given that life. Ethan and Tristan, you're first. Wow, what a blessing. You're first. Tanner and Callie, I see Tanner back there. You're first. It's an awesome thing, isn't it, dads, moms? It's an awesome thing, a life. Chris and I went home in 1981 with that little boy, and we looked at each other and said, there's nobody else going to tell us how to do this. And we're in. God gives life. He's blessed these young couples. He's given life. He's given these young ones, Rami and Rachel, another boy. another son, another one that we have great hopes for, that God will make him mighty with God. God will use him. What a blessing. He was born, I think, 4 days before little Silas, my grandson. So Ramsey and Silas, may they preach and love God, whatever God has for them. Think of that. Michael and Antia, another daughter. You have a beautiful family, wonderful family. It's a joy of getting to know you more and more. And another daughter. What will God do with her? Phenomenal, just to pause. You know, that's what overwhelms me at times now with grandchildren, is holding them or watching them when they're young and just wondering, oh God, what do you have for them? Use them for your namesake. Let them serve their generation for the glory of Jesus Christ. A blessing of a daughter with siblings, older brothers and sisters to love her and speak to her, be there for her. Maria and Jonathan had their first son. Happens to be Tom and Betty's grandson, right? A little boy, after all they've been through, what a year for them. What mercies of God in their life. A son, and to be together, and to be as a family, and wow, the blessings of God. Eric and Shana, you kind of did what we did. You have new children. You have new responsibilities. Tucker and Bella, precious. Young lives, young ones to be trained and nurtured, young ones to be loved and shown the way. What a blessing of children. And yet, there's new ones on the way. This category, a time to be born, or this thing of new responsibilities. God gives. Babies that are coming. Nick and Erica. New baby. Really close. He's close, isn't he? We get a note at what, noon, was that right, Lee? They're on the way to the hospital. And we're meeting, the elders, with Brother Eric and Brian later. We're meeting at Panera Bread, having a good conversation on things. And guess who walks by, coming in, just strolling in to have dinner? Nick and Erica. Wait a minute. Who's sending out emails this day? There they were. Well, God's blessed you. He's coming. May God use him for the glory of the kingdom. Nathaniel and Caitlin, they're back there. Baby number 3 on the way. You know, you're going to be able to keep your Caitlin plus 1. You hadn't had to be too far out of that sign-off long, have you? I love it since the early days and they were here and she would sign off Caitlin plus 1. Baby number 2, Caitlin plus 1. Such a beautiful picture. It's an awesome thing for you sisters to be able to carry a human life. To this day, I say, it's just incredible. Men, does it not grip you that God gives them a life, puts it in the womb? Wow. Caitlin's had the joy of that. Another baby very soon to be born. Jeff and Tommy. Lainey gets a sister. Lainey gets a sister. What a joy. Coming soon to be joining the Price household with all those older brothers to look after her. And they will. Beloved, what's the point here? There's a time to be born. There's a time of giving of life. God gives us life. We're stewards of lives, young souls, those to train up in His ways. Parenting will bless you, and parenting will test you, guaranteed. Parenting is not for those who are half-hearted about it. Parenting are those for those who arise and be about what God's given you, to be stewards, to love them, to train them, to correct them, to nurture them, to speak to them concerning the living God, to speak to Him of His works of old, to speak to Him about Him today, to speak of the redeeming love of Jesus Christ. That's what we're to be about. That's what our children are given to us for, the glory of God and His kingdom. And they should hear this. One of my nephews years ago said, Uncle Philip, you love the Bible. You love to talk about these things. And I said, Trav, yes, that's the thing I ought to be telling my nephews or my children or grandchildren about, and loving them and speaking to them about, writing to them about, loving them in the truth. So, beloved, you young dads and moms, you parents that have been at it for many years and God's given you new children, labor in faith, hoping for God to work in their lives. Some plant and some water. You don't have the keys to do it. You don't bring them to new life. But you be faithful in training them, sowing the seed, watering the seed, believing God to do great things. It doesn't limit you at all. It gives you faith to go forward in it. You don't trust your techniques. You trust God. It's heavy. It's big. It's real. Some of the early questions I asked Mack Tomlinson in 1986-87 when I was first knowing him was about children. Because his older four and our older four were right there. I mean, right same ages and growing up. And parenting was a big topic to me, and it still is. So, beloved, labor in faith, you dads and moms. Second, a time to die. There's a time to be born and there's a time to die. Many of us, several of us, lost loved ones. We had to let them go. We have to let them go. God rules, right? David said in Psalm 31:15, my times are in His hands. My times are in His hands. My life, my breath, my dad, my brother, my wife, my children, my grandchildren, my times, our times are in His hands. Who are we to think that we have tomorrow or next year or 5 years from now? If the Lord wills. That's how we live. There's a time to die. I said to y'all who heard me Sunday when Team 1 answered on Jordan's stormy banks, Tom and the team answered that. I mumbled or said, if you attend my funeral, we don't know what's ahead, I would like that hymn to be sung at my funeral. And my grown children, I can promise you, all know that. They know that. There is a time to die. We let go. Lee and Amber and the girls, the loss of Grandpa Ray. We lost him too, but not like they did. And Aaron and Amy and their family and those kids and those grandkids and great-grandkids, the loss of Grandpa Ray, he was a spiritual father to y'all. He set a gospel path. He set it good. He blazed. He had such zeal and earnestness. And Mac and Lee and Jeff and I would remember, especially Lee, hundreds of times of through the years of Lee, of Brother Ray impacting him. But when he would pull us aside, he'd say to me, I have some things to share with you. And he'd write those down. And I have some notes from him that I will cherish. They're in my files. The loss of Grandpa Ray, Sister Ray, right now healing from difficult surgery up there. The loss of a beloved husband of 68 years. There's very few in this room that even been alive 68 years. If any. 68 years. That's right, isn't it, brother, sister? They were married 68 years. I've been married 37 years. And I sometimes go, wait a minute here. 68? Wow. Such a beloved sister. What she's gone through, what she's had to let go is incomprehensible really for us. It's real. There's a time to be born and a time to die. Sister Ray is carried along by God's tender love. John and Kathy and the boys and little sis losing your dad. It is very real, isn't it? The loss of a loved one, the loss of a parent, the things that we feel, the reflections that we have, the thankfulness that we feel about growing up. It's real. Letting go, y'all talking and sharing, and you boys opening up with dad and mom and learning to walk through that, learning to share, letting dad tell you stories about him. Tom and Betty and the family. The recent loss of Tom's mom. I think I met her or got to be with her twice, I think, through the years. Maybe more, but I only really remember a couple of times. But the loss that Tom felt, this one I could relate to, right? Yes, Tom and Betty and the children and the grandchildren, those who lost her. And I know you weren't close in terms of proximity, but through the years, all of your kids will have memories of her. And you can tell stories and you can share things. Ultimately, what am I saying? We have to speak within the language of the fear and the love of God, that our days are His. Krista and I, the loss of three parents so close together. I mean, to see her lose her mom and then the next night go find my mom dead was amazing. There's a section of road that Jesse and I drove over the night when a friend had called and said, I can't get your mom to answer the phone. And there was a section of road that I'll always, on that section of road, Jesse and I will remember talking together. And I'm thinking, Lord, I think you've taken her. Could you? Have you? Is that what I'm fixing to walk into? Yes. You know, there's been such loss in letting go. Krista's mom, my mom the next day, her dad in June, sister-in-laws that died. God was reminding us, speaking to us, that to teach us to number our days, that we would incline our heart unto wisdom, unto Him and His kingdom. Nothing wrong with reflecting on their lives and talking about it, but it means that we ought to run hard after what He has us to be about. We're not to pack it in. We're not to store it all away anymore. We're to run hard. We're to live with zeal. Brother Ray taught me that. My goodness. Live with purpose. I don't want to fade away with a lack of impact. I want to run well to the end. And I want to learn from those deaths. And I want to learn from losing my mother-in-law. And learn from losing my father-in-law. And learn from burying my own mom. It's very real. God gives grace. God says, arise. As I sent the note to Krista this week, He said to Joshua after the death of Moses, He said, be strong and courageous. Arise. Take the land. Be about what I have. In a sense, that spoke to me deeply in this last week of the year. Yes, beloved, we let go of the loved ones. We acknowledge that they're His. Their breath is His, right? They're not ours. Third, a time to plant. There's a time to plant. It means there's a time of new days and new opportunities. When I was with the Pop's house, and then see, I was with the Courtneys a little while later on two pastoral visits on one night. We're talking about planting. Man, we're getting in this. This is how you can do it. You know, I got an old tiller, and I'm going to give it to Alan. And planting, a time to plant, new days, new opportunities. Years ago, when we first moved to where we were, Baker Hughes' boys helped me some, and we tried to get some raised beds and things going. There is a time of new opportunity. It's beautiful. I love it. Mac loves the beginning of the calendar year because it's a day to believe God and commit to God, asking. I understand it's just the flipping of a page, right? It's the flipping of a calendar page, but it's something that reminds us we're in time. He's not. We're bound in time. We're in His time. But He who is not bound by time is ruling. New opportunities. Kyle and Jennifer, he was back there. Kyle, brother, a new job. Woo! Man, yes. It's been a year or two just asking God, Lord, would you give him work? Would you open something up? Would you give him a new way to labor and care for his wife and those precious twins? A new job. God's given it. New joys in it. New challenges in it. I doubt they're all just gathering around every morning when you get there reading Spurgeon's morning and evening. You're going to have to walk in those things. You're going to walk in the truth, love others. Nick and Jamie and those two big guys that hang out with you. Moving to Providence Village. It just seems like two or three years ago, a few times, you know, I get to come to y'all's house in Fort Worth, and there was, well, maybe one day, I don't know. You're there. Wow, a time to plant, new days, new opportunities. You can grow in friendships. You can grow in what you're to be about. As he says in Ecclesiastes, whatever you put your hand to, give it all that you've got. None of you should be slack or half-hearted about what you're about. Nobody. Philip and Megan. I didn't see that married couple like that this time last year. Maybe somebody else did. Maybe mom or dad did. Maybe they felt something in their own hearts. But that is marvelous. That is wonderful. You talk about new days and new opportunities. A time to plant. I mean, everything about your life being joined together is God using your lives, in your lives, to plant, to who knows what's ahead. Wonderful. I guess for those of us who have been married for many years, we tend to reflect on it and go, wow, what's in there coming days and years. As I said to the attendant down in Corpus Christi a couple of years ago when I was down there on that conference, those of you who remember, and I said, I'm looking for something small for my wife. This is my encouragement to this young couple. One of the attendants, young lady, said, well, this friend of mine, she's getting married in 2 weeks. What would you tell her about marriage and having marriage for the long haul? Who's the secret to that? And I said, Jesus Christ. And he just froze. Jesus Christ, He's the one. That's it, Philip and Megan. You know Him and you'll love her like with all the heart. You love Him. Give your hearts together. Let God have the glory in it. Ian and Leslie, moving to Denton. What? My grandson, Penley, he's 5 years. One of his great lines right now is, what? And when I think about Ian and Leslie and you kids being here, I want to go, what? Like Penley does. Like, how could this be? How did we steal one of the lighter children families from Kirksville? That's a victory. This one needs to be. If Brother Charles gets word of this, and Mona especially, we got them. It's amazing. God did it. Jeff might have known some things were happening, but Jeff couldn't have pulled that off. Jeff would have just said, I'll pray for you, brother. And there they are. It's amazing. You're here. It's wonderful. It's just amazing that you're here. God did it. It's a time to plant. God's given you these skills, brother, in your work and all. There are struggles, right? You got to walk in the Spirit. You got to have a humble heart. You got to love sinners. Pat and Liz, how in the world are you at Providence Chapel? God. There's a time to every purpose under heaven. I appreciated Wednesday night the way y'all were both sharing. You're here in the will of God. Who knows but what's ahead? You strengthen us. We strengthen you. Think of the mutual giving and receiving within the body. It's beautiful. It's Christ and His people. So run well. Avail yourself of all that God's giving you. Cody and Jill, I'm not sure if they're here today. Cody and Jill, are they here? Coming into the church. Didn't see that coming, right? I have wonderful memories of Mac and I going out there in the summer, late summer, to be in their home. How many of you have been out there where they are? Yeah, that answers it. Make sure. I'm not sure I would trust Siri and everybody else in the electronic, digital, high-tech, woo, whiz-bang world. You might want to get a map. Or in my world, get an aerial photograph. Where are we going? But it's wonderful there. There's beautiful. Mac and I loved it. We start going through some hills, and Mac started, I think, singing to me. I can't remember what happened, but it was wonderful. But Cody and Jill and those little children hosting us, talking to us about grace and their lives. James and Elizabeth and the children, here you are in the will of God, coming to be a part of this church, just coming with joy. I appreciate you, brother, because you smile and you're joyful. It's good. It's like a medicine, a joyful spirit, right? It does. It encourages others. We're so glad you're here, and we're glad that the friendship with Jeff through the years. And look, again, Jeff's a great brother, but he can't pull these things off. He can't orchestrate things like that. He's just trying to keep his own kids all in the van and everybody's safe, right? I mean, I know that. We would drive around in our VW bus years ago just trying to get them all in, get everybody settled. But James and Elizabeth, you're here. Praise be to God. Alan and Legia, new days. There's a time to plant. There's a lot of new planting that's gone on in that family. A new home. A new puppy. Talk to him about that. Two, that's right, two. But there they are, a new home, a new course of study, a new place for prayer, one of the prayer meetings. New labors, new love, new giving and receiving within the body. It's beautiful. You talk about some new planting that God's doing there. Such an awesome thing to behold. Such a joy to go to all the prayer meetings. Have their own uniqueness, right? But there's certainly fresh joy and faith and love there in that home. So grateful to y'all. Jake and Esther. Where were they? Where did I have them? Yeah, you can't hide from me. Jake and Esther. Man, what a beautiful thing. Another marriage. Esther had briefly shared many, many months ago with her mom, Valerie. We were there and we were sharing, and she said, "Can I mention one other thing? Sister, you may not want this to go public, but it's going public." And in her own humble and gentle way, she said, "You know, I feel something there with Jake." That's basically what she said. I may be older, but I get it. I definitely get it. Well, I said to Valerie and I said to Esther, "I'm not going to say a word to anybody, Krista or anybody. We're just going to leave it with God." It was like a week later, 10 days later, Jeff comes bouncing into the elders' meeting. Somewhere along the line, he said, "You know, Jake pulled me aside. Or something. Once he has a real, feels like God may be appointing Esther." I'm over there about to lose it, thinking, not going to say anything. There they are. October 14th, right? I don't know, that date just really sticks with me. Like with Philip and Megan, new marriage, new union. Your marriage, as precious as it is, it's not yours to hold on to in that sense. It's yours to live out to the glory of God, but let it explode to the culture and the world around you. Let it be full of redeeming love of Christ. You men, Jake as a husband, let the glory of Christ as the great husband over the great bride of His, let that shine forth. Our society, people all around you, could be shaken, could be impacted by that. Shane Franklin, Sherry's brother. Shane's not here today, at least I hadn't seen him. How in the world is he here now? God did it. He's moved back to Texas. He used to be here several years ago. He's back to Texas. He's out there with Kevin and Sherry, some of the other brethren that are out in that area, and he's here at Providence Chapel. How do you explain that? God rules the times and seasons. He appoints these things. It's amazing. I remember the first conference call we had with Shane, just beginning to get to know him, and several of us were on the phone with him. God did it. My exhortation to Shane is, give yourself totally to Christ and His bride. Go hard. Give yourself. Serve the living Savior. Spend and be spent for Him. Jonathan Hebert. Yeah, I got you in my notes. I don't think anybody's sliding out today. Jonathan here? How do you explain that? Your mom and dad would say, isn't that the truth? Beautiful. I saw him in the spring at the conference, and then just a matter of God ordered this, did this, came through his knee surgery, was coming into more stronger days, and boom, God brings him here. What a joy. What a joy. What purposes? Who knows what's ahead in your life for the kingdom of God? It's not a small thing. It's huge what God has done in bringing Jonathan here. Aaron and Amy and the family, Abby and the kids. How did you get here? You came the furthest distance. Incredible. Here you are. And like with Kyle, a new job, finally, yes. It was huge. It was big. It ought to be faith building. It ought to cause the children in the years to come say, then God did this, and then God gave my dad a job. God gets all the glory. He should get all the glory. What a beautiful thing. And having close y'all as family members and caring for Brother Ray in those latter weeks and months, and now helping care for Sister Ray and loving them. Boy, you talk about a beautiful picture of how to relate to the multi-generations in a family. These folks are living it. It's beautiful. It's God-honoring. It's America cultural fad stuff thrown out the window. Krista being with her mom in those dying weeks and then with her dad, and it's real. It's heartbreaking in a sense, but it's full of God's grace in it. Grateful to have the Dennis family. Brother Eric, a time to plant. 2 months ago, right now, he was still working there at the store. Now he's been through training and he's getting to work with Stephen Gage. These are new days for you. New people you'll meet. New things that you and Stephen can be to each other. You ought to stimulate each other to love and good deeds. You ought to be like Pilgrim's Progress. You ought to walk like that. You ought to think that way. Be friends in the faith. Encourage each other. What a joyful thing. New days for you. Patricia. She was back there. Is Patricia back there? Okay. I don't think any of us knew Patricia 100 days ago, did we? When you guys married, did we know Patricia then? No. And God has her here. What a joyful thing. What an amazing turn of events that here she is with us in this pilgrimage with God's people for His purpose. Amazing. Yes, beloved, God has given you new days to be fruitful in every good work. These aren't just random things. You families that have come here, you single men, what you're about, Patricia, these are not random things. They're the orchestrating of the Almighty, the God who rules the heavens and the earth and holds the cosmos. He's got your steps. He's got your lives. He builds His church. Mac and I and our families, when we met starting 17 years ago, we met to worship the one true God, prayer, and to be real and to serve Him. And now we look up, and I can't even capture it all. It's overwhelming. But God's doing it. Be fruitful. Category 4, there's a time to weep. There's times of hard things, right? I mean, these are just things that came to my mind about you. Any of the other elders could have expressed countless of other things. These just came to my mind through the last month, thinking on you. And some of you have been through heavy things, hard struggles, having to look to God, having to grow in faith and submission to His will. There are hard things, things that are a quandary at times. Jared and Joanne's going to bed one night, essentially, and the house being on fire. Whew. Talk about the kindness of God. Just to hold that line. He just held the line. And the struggles with Matthew's health. Those have been real, what Matthew's gone through. What y'all are going through as a family. They're hard. You're crying out to the Lord. Lord, help us. Help Him. Something as simple as give Him sleep. That's why, Matthew, if we say, now, how's your sleeping? It's like, what a question to ask a young man like that. But it has a depth to it, right? That God would give him sleep. That he and Luke would learn from these things. That they would see these hard days, and what God is taking you through is that He's with those that fear Him, that trust Him, that yield to Him. Stephen and Kathy, struggles with her health. Hard days, right? Hard days. Days where the children have to help you. Just some of the simplest of things. Oh, the struggles, the agonies, the longings for I need to be about this, and I can't even get up and walk across the house without being fatigued or feeling really, really poor. So the struggles. It's not easy for a husband to try to work and be about other things when his wife is hurting. I mean, he has to get what he goes through. Krista was really sick in the early 90s. It was hard, very hard. Some of my most painful moments of watching what she was going through as a young woman and as a young mom. It is real. You have to look unto God, right? He is the strength of our heart, as Asaph said in Psalm 73. But God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Asaph is saying, lay hold of that. We need it. I need it. You need it. You young people need to lay hold of that. God is the strength of your heart. Greg Cram, very hard days with his health. The legs and the breathing and the difficulties of what Greg's been through. I haven't seen him today, but I want to express even to him, look unto God. All that he's been through and he continues to struggle with, but to be one that trusts the Almighty. Trust in God. He cares for you. Valerie and the family. There have been hard days. Been good days. Been heavy days. Been hard days. Challenging days in many ways. A lot of moving parts and pieces. And she had the joy of seeing a daughter marry. But she's had heavy things too. And laboring and loving and caring and running a home. And now ministering to her father. So there are heavy days. There are struggles. God is the strength of that family. Look to Him. You children, look to help each other. Help mom. Help each other. Work as a team. Be all in. Together. Let God have the glory in it. Let Him be magnified in it. Jonathan Thompson. Did I see Jonathan come in? Maybe on the road. Jonathan Thompson, he's had heavy days, hard days, particularly with his son, John David, right? It's been hard seeing John David in his young manhood and what he's wrestling with or against. But Jonathan trying to minister to him, love him, speak to him, give him a word in season, look this way, go this way. As the proverb writer said, my son, give me thine heart. Listen to me. Oh, young people, wherever you are, do not turn away from the words of your dad and your mom. God says, listen to him. Listen to her, your mom. That's what God says. Jonathan's laboring in these things. Hard days. Jonathan and Elena. I don't know that they're here, right? Not able to be here. Hard days with his health. I came out of a public meeting back in the spring, late spring in Dallas. Public meeting, so I had my phone in my car. And I got in, had this voicemail from Jonathan. It was one of those way up here. Hey, brother, this is Brother Jonathan. I want to talk to you, brother. I love you, brother. I need to share some things with you, brother. And you know Jonathan. And he was full of, I was able to call him back. But maybe a week later or less, hard things, test results. Elena caring for him, two boys. God's with them. They have to look unto God. We have to minister to them as you already are within the body. Time to weep, time to struggle. Mac and Linda, loving and caring for children, grandchildren, their impact and ministry to Caroline. I can't even believe that's where she is now in her age. When we moved here, she was just a little girl. She was 7 or something like that. It's incredible. But the love that they pour into the kids, speaking to them, go this way, go this way. It can be a struggle, but it's right to speak to our children and grandchildren. It's right to tell them the right way. We would cheat them, we would fail them if we don't tell them these things. We owe it to God and we owe it to them to speak to them, go this way. When sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Fathers, mothers, tell your children that. Children, when you're asked to go the way of sin, don't go. That's what Proverbs is full of. And that's why parenting, we must stay the course. We must lovingly, in a nurturing spirit, teach these things and warn children and grandchildren. Brother Josh, hard things with your roommate. Loving him, trying to stand for truth, trying to impact him. Those were not easy days. When Josh and I had lunch back in early December, as I remember it. Well, just appreciate your heart. We've all of us as elders appreciate you. You've been so just all in with sharing and giving yourselves. It's been beautiful. But the hard things with your roommate. You never know, brother, when you sow the seed or what, you never know what God might do. He may be with us in the next Sunday. Who knows? So yes, beloved, you've had hard days, many of you, but God carries you through it all. All the way my Savior leads me. Last category, a time to build up. There's a time to weep and there's a time to build up. Meaning, it's a little different from a time to plant. Planting is starting new when you plant something, but the time to build up, it's about being fruitful or continuing in your ministry. What you're about, broadening it, making it even bigger the impact, letting God own you, use you for fruitful days of building up. Leslie and Nathan and Claire, where is that young guy? I need him right there. Training and teaching, great ministry to others. I mean, when I step back and look, all of you are all giving yourself to impact others. It's really quite a wonderful thing. It's very inspiring. And you were wondering about the training, and God took you through the training, and now you're able. He's got it all, sister. He's got you, and He's got them. And I have good thoughts of home visit with them. I love when all three of them open up, and Claire and Nathan will ask questions. But your ministry to others is tangible. God's in it. Keep going. Be fruitful in it. Let it be broadened as you already are. Bryce and Aaron, ministering to your children. Aaron's not here. But just the labor of ministering to sons and daughters. Daughter. right? Laboring, singing. I love, you know, they're doing some pretty amazing singing in that household. They share it with me. I think the other elders, when y'all go in, they sing to you. Singing, train them, nurture them, commit them unto God, trust the great work of God in their lives. Believe Him. It's a faithful labor, parenting. Is it ever? The great biographers never leave that out with the young children that grew up under gospel influences. None of them leave that out. That the fathers and the mothers that trained their children in the ways of God, how it was foundational to what the Holy Spirit did in the coming days. Brian and Michelle, your faithful labor within the body. Man. Brian and as a deacon and so many things behind the scenes that y'all didn't even see. Michelle helping in the women's retreat, hosting some of the young people or the Friday fellowships, giving yourself which in so many ways. It's about building up. It's about faithful, it's being a servant, right, of the Almighty. We're unprofitable servants. We don't feel like we ever do anything, but we're His. We ought to be giving ourselves, and they are. It's wonderful. It's so precious within His people. It's so vital to the health of this church. Clint and Sarah. I see you back there, my bearded friend. Clint and Sarah. They're at Providence Village. They're now opening your home. Sarah wanting to minister and be with the women like that. It's a beautiful thing. It's you. It's your home, right? You take that on when you give yourself for the women's time and the studies and being close to the saints and giving and receiving. It's precious. It's a time to build up. It's time to serve, right? It's serving others. It's giving of yourselves. It's wonderful. God's using you. Sometimes it's imperceptible to you. I understand that. But God's using it. You don't watch a live oak tree grow on a monthly basis. Come back in a few years, and that live oak will be doing something. Ye shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. David and Ebony, where'd they go? I had them. They're back here. There's Ebony. David right there. I mean, think of it. We're talking about time to build up the business, talking to others. I mean, David's got captured audiences all the time. If there's somebody that ought to be really good at speaking on gospel things and things in the culture, and David has a heart for that. It's a wonderful thing to be about. You ought to, every day when you drive in, you probably already do this, brother, say, Lord, give me your words. Let me walk in your spirit. Let me help my customers, but let me speak words of truth. It doesn't have to be necessarily this many words. It can be that many words. And Ebony in the neighborhood and having the children and being out in the park or at the grocery store, impacting ministry to whoever you're around. Beautiful, beautiful picture of the gospel in the people. The living, true gospel, the Spirit of God in them. Darius, he's back there. Couldn't find you earlier today. I was going to send somebody after you. Just giving your skills, helping with all this, set up, take down, do this. It's not an easy thing. Here and at other meetings and other places. Brother, it's real. It is very real. It's a very real labor to build others up. And we're grateful to you and grateful to you other guys helping. We're all blessed by it. Sometimes I'll go back and pull up one of the teachings or a sermon from the past and I realize these things don't just happen. Take it from a non-technology guy. It doesn't. We're thankful to you. Jason Courtney, right there. Translating sermons and teachings. You realize you're a part of the messenger. I think I grasped this in the last couple of weeks more than ever before. Jason, who's excellent at what he does, he translates the preaching of the gospel to those who need to hear it in their language. That's a beautiful thing, brother. God's using you. You get to hear it, and then you get to proclaim it. You're moving awfully fast. God's let you do that. So when you go forth, it's not a small thing. You're a part of His instrument. And we're grateful to you and love you. David and Marisa and the gang. I could have talked to each of you. Trust me, Lee, I'm winding down. I said 2.5 hours, but that was clearly a joke yesterday. David and Marisa, very, very gracious care within the body. very conscious care. We appreciate you, your lives, your family. You're opening your home for the prayer meetings at times. And ministries here, like I said about Brother Brian and his family. Ministering in ways that, as a deacon and as a family that's sharing in that labor, that so oftentimes it's not even seen or known by the body. It's things that are happening. Care, needs that are expressed, things that we could be ahead of or be aware of. And we appreciate so much y'all's lives and your faithfulness. You're a pillar here. You're such a faithful part of what God has here. And yes, sister, I've finally given it up. You can have chicken spaghetti on that menu as many times this year as you want to. I'm a free man now. I'm letting it go, I think. That's true. Joel and Laura, just your unique way to try to impact and give your life to others. Young people, others, Bible study. It's a beautiful thing. I mean, a time to build up. See, none of us, we learn from each other, right? Part of what I asked the Lord this morning, let us learn from each other. We learn. I mean, Mac will tell you stories of what he's learned from other godly men through the decades. And me learning from the other elders. It's a beautiful thing. But Joel and Laura just ministering, loving people and trying to impact them. I appreciate you taking the kids or having the young people go skating recently. That was a neat thing. But it gives you time to connect. And so often in this day, nobody wants to connect. Leave me alone. But the gospel people, the Christ people, should be about true pursuit of friendship and care. Thank you for your labor. Ron and Janet, giving time, giving energy, ministry to children, empty nesting to some extent, and grandchildren. Now, Ron and I and Mac, if we could just hang out for a couple of hours and tell grandkids stories. There's no doubt in my mind. We'd have a blast. I'd say, I got one funnier than that. Mac would say, no, I've got one funnier than that. And we'd go on and on, but it's real. It's real. Seeing your children married off, seeing grandchildren, and being able to step back and speak truth into the lives of the family and to the kids and the grandkids. Brother, it's real. We know that you and Janet have a heart for that. We appreciate your lives and your energy. We love you. Kevin and Sherry. Still hadn't gotten her here yet. Never has been here. She was at our previous meetings years ago. She was able to come. God willing, Kevin and Sherry, you talk about a time to build up. Their love and their commitment in reaching out, and the whole thing with Shane coming here. It's a beautiful story of the will of God or the hand of God in it. It's just precious. The ministry there and the desire for him to be in a body of true people and hear the truth and be encouraged in things, biblical realities and theology. And it's just been amazing seeing Kevin and Sherry there and yet so much here, so much a part of all that we're about. It's a masterful thing that God has done, beautiful thing. Yes, beloved, all of these that I've shared, all that I'm just touching on, and I realize there's so much more, but all of these that I've touched on, and particularly you in this list, are to build up. You're about building up, strengthening the labor that's there in terms of laboring more, giving yourself more, letting God multiply it, that you would impact this generation. Yes, reflecting is good, isn't it? It is good. I took my file and I started going back through the previous years. There's a lot of you on previous years that I had never known, none of us. I'd go back 2014, 2013, 2012, and I'd flip through them and I'd smile and go, oh my, that's right after Alistair was born or something. I would be thinking, and it was strengthening me that the times and the seasons are God's. He's got us. And so now we've looked back briefly, and it's time to go forward. 2018 is here. We're in it. It's upon us. God has it for us in our day. How should we view it? Let me read the same quote I read from Spurgeon last year. Stunning. Listen to what Spurgeon said. It's one thing to reflect back. Now how should we look ahead? Reflecting also points forward. For when a man gets up to a certain mark, He is not yet at the end. There is still a distance to be traversed. More trial, more joys. More temptations, more triumphs. More prayers, more answers. More toils, more strength. More fights, more victories. And then comes sickness, old age, disease, death. Is it over now? No. There is yet more. Awakening in Jesus' likeness. Thrones, harps, songs, psalms, white raiment, the face of Jesus Christ, the society of the saints, the glory of God, the fullness of eternity, the infinity of bliss or happiness. What a great God. He's got us. Amen. Let me pray. O Lord, unto Thee be all the glory. All that we've come through, all that we've reflected on in these brief moments, have Your signature, Your mark, Your sovereignty on them. Glory to God in the highest. Thank You that You loved us in the past, today, right now, in the future, in everlasting love, and You're with us. Glory to God for our great Savior, who is ever with His people and ever giving of intercession for us. Lord, take us on in 2018 to the glory of God and the glory of Your Son. Thank You, Lord. Amen.